Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sempowered Women Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany A.J. Mariki, the founder of Sisters in STEM. If you're new to our audience and don't really know who we are, Sisters in STEM is a multimedia platform aimed toward empowering women of color in their daily lives and their passion for science, technology, engineering, and math. I created this podcast to showcase empowered women, STEM-powered women. And today, it is a solo episode. It is just me and you, honey. It's me and you now. I've been waiting. Think I want to make that move now. Baby, tell me how you like it. No? No Cassie throwbacks? Okay. But I hope you like it because today we are talking about alternative STEM careers and some side hustles that you could potentially get into. All right? So I did my research, and essentially I'm going to break it down to you the same way you could have just Googled it yourself, but I'm saving you the trouble. Isn't that great? All right, so first things first, if you're already caught up with the show, you would have heard Andrea Evans Esquire break it all down for us on the last episode. She is a patent attorney. She is awesome. She went to school for civil engineering at Spelman, and then she became a patent attorney. She went to work for the USPTO, and now she owns her own law firm. Inspiration, honey. That's all I have to say is inspiration. I thought I wanted to be a patent attorney when I first started out becoming an engineer, but you know, it's never too late. I could still look into it at some point in time, but I'm just not there in my career right now. That is our first stop on our list. I think I have about 10 of them for you guys. So number one is a patent attorney. I would not consider that one a side hustle. That one is a alternative career that you can get into. Now, one thing she did mention is that you could become a patent agent. Now that doesn't require you to sit for the bar. All you have to do to become a patent agent is get your engineering degree or other technical degree, whether you're studying chemistry, biology, or whatever it may be, you can still sit for the patent agent test, and then you will become a licensed patent agent, which you can do on the side. It doesn't have to be your main job. You can do that one. You can do that on the side and have another profession being your main career. Within that profession, as she broke down, you would be reviewing different patents that people are trying to put forth. You won't be able to represent them in court, but you will be able to overlook their patent applications, which is critical for a lot of inventors, creators, entrepreneurs, and so many people are looking for that key person who can hold their hand through that process. And why can't it be you? You know, one thing about it is that as I was searching for a lot of non-traditional STEM careers, it kept popping up for careers that weren't traditional for women to be in. And it just kind of listed engineering, web developer, all these regular STEM careers that they just think, oh, women can't be in it. It's not that. We have so much interest in being in these areas. We just need to be exposed to it so that way we can pursue that as our career. But if you don't know about it, how are you going to become that? Exactly. Because no one is taking the time out to tell us what we can potentially be. That's why I'm here for you. I am trying to help you understand what it is that you can do within your career, whether you've already started your STEM career or if you're someone who's studying in school or thinking about pursuing that as a major, different paths that you can take. We need to knock down these myths that women can't be in these STEM careers or that we're not smart enough or that we just don't want to do the work. No, our brains work in so many different ways that we are way better at a lot of these things than the men. Can I hear the applause? Because I'm going to give it to myself. Because we are definitely out here and we are definitely killing it in the game. So another career path that you can potentially go into, which is one that I personally am in myself, is technical sales. Now, I'm also going to tie this in with consulting too, because the big difference between those is the compensation, I would say. Oh, I actually forgot to mention what the compensation was for a patent lawyer. So for a patent lawyer, your salary could range from about $110,000 to $120,000 a year. But don't get me to lying, because she probably told us something a little bit different on the last episode. So reference that and listen to that episode, and she'll tell you exactly how much it is that you can expect to make. But within the technical sales and consulting, like I mentioned, with technical sales, you are selling a product. You don't necessarily have to be an engineer. This is also something that someone who is in biotechnical sales can do. You can sell for pharmaceuticals as well. So this is an over-encompassing, that's not a word, is it? I don't know if it's a word. This is something that can that you can get into regardless of what field of study you already went into or you're looking to get into. I would say look at which specific companies it is, and then that would kind of curtail what it is the salary would be for you, because someone who's selling something a lot smaller may not get compensated as much. Whereas if you're in the big IT and big tech sale, big pharma sales, you may get compensated a whole lot more. So it'll vary on that scale, but your analytical skills will come into play, because as you're building solutions for those customers or learning about whatever product it is that you're trying to sell, you'll be able to better communicate that with the customer. It's all about having those additional communication skills that will allow you to stand apart from the rest of the bunch and go into a career like this. Now, with consulting, it's a little bit different, because I was interested in consulting. I also worked at an engineering consulting firm, but in a slightly different aspect of what I'm trying to explain. The consulting's, the consulting firms of like Deloitte and Accenture, you're more so working directly with the client and assessing what issues that client is facing and developing a special solution for them. Your company will sometimes implant you directly within your client's site. So that way you're always there to help them with whatever it is, the issue that they may be facing. Now, don't give me the line as to how much everybody's making, but I will say that you will probably be ranging between about $85,000 to $120,000. It all depends on what company you're with and what specialty you're in. Another one that I think could be good for you guys that it didn't really cross my mind. This was something completely new, because I told you I did the research, and it listed technical writer. You don't really think about who's writing this manual or who's giving me the instructions of how to do this or who is writing the application to get a grant for this particular foundation. A lot of times they will hire technical writers, someone who is very technically inept and then also has strong writing skills to do that job. Now, this could be someone's full-time job, or this could be a side hustle you have. You could write for, company XYZ, be a technical writer for them for their particular products that they have. You'll be well-versed in that area, or if it's a specialty that you have where you can, someone wants a grant written, they want to apply for a grant and they're looking for someone who can truly explain the product that they're working with, then you'll be that person that they'll call on to do that technical writing. I would say look into it a whole lot more, because it's something that I never really thought about before. When I did look it up, it said the salary could be around $65,000 to about $70,000. Now, you're probably thinking, why should you keep telling me all these salaries? Because money matters, honey. You got to know how much you're going to make when you're thinking of getting into these fields. I mean, honestly, isn't that why we all thought about STEM? Somebody told you, oh, you can make a lot of money doing XYZ. And you said, oh, really? Okay. Put me in there. Put me in, coach, because I think I can do it too. That's why I wanted to make sure I had at least a few little numbers to throw at you when you're considering something, because that definitely had an impact on what I wanted to look into for my career. All right. Next one is a teacher or professor. Now, this all depends on how much time you want to spend in that in the education field, whether it will be your full time or if it'll be a side hustle. Now, I want to break it down, because a teacher requires a bachelor's degree. That's someone who's working with, you know, high school and down. You don't necessarily have to have a graduate degree to work in high schools, but they also will, you know, accept people who have those graduate degrees to teach certain classes. I remember when I was in middle school, I was so surprised to find out that my history teacher had a master's degree. I'm like, well, Ms. Chambers, well, no. Was it a master's degree or was it a PhD? Because I think we called her Dr. Chambers. I'm like, well, Dr. Chambers, why are you here? You could be so far and doing everything, but representation matters. You know, if you don't have a Black teacher with a PhD, you wouldn't realize like, oh, I could be a Black teacher with a PhD. That's an option for me. And that's the big difference between a teacher and a professor. That's when you start getting into that professor realm, when you have a graduate degree and you can teach at the college level. Now, there's a lot of technicalities when it comes to the college level, because you can be an adjunct professor, or you can be a professor who's on the tenure track and someone who's tenured and on the faculty for that specific school. Now, people who are adjunct professors who are just there under a specific contract, they aren't tied to working directly with that school 24/7. They can hold jobs outside of the teaching realm. So that way they're teaching a night class, or they teach this class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but on the other days they're focused on focused on their main job. Or someone could be focused on their research and teaching a class at that school. Now, I also am not well-versed in this area because I am not a teacher. And don't you start to think that those who can't do teach, that is not true at all. Uh-uh. You can make some money teaching in those realms. And it also depends on the field that you want to teach in. Because when I was looking it up, it was showing that some teachers can make between... Okay, I don't want to say teachers and professors, because maybe this was just a salary for a professor between 80 to 95. I won't speak on how much the teachers are particularly making, because I don't know in the high school realm. I was more so looking in the higher education realm, because that's where I have high hopes for you, and that's where you're going to fall in. Okay, you are getting that graduate degree and you are going to seek the highest level that you can possibly be in. Those are possibilities for you. Someone who does it on the side as just an adjunct could possibly make about $25,000 if they're teaching, you know, and it also depends on the frequency of what type of class that you're teaching. That would greatly affect the salary that you would receive. Another one that caught me off guard, especially since we're talking about STEM, is a financial analyst and investment banker. Now, I did hear of a friend who went to B school, business school, and she wanted to go into investment banking. And I thought that was very interesting, but we weren't in the setting so we can fully talk about it. But when I saw this, it was on the list for people who are, with engineering backgrounds and people who have scientific backgrounds as well. So you will be able to use those analytical skills. It said that people who, when you're studying engineering, you're very well-versed with, the spreadsheets and doing the math. And you're able to take those skills, go to business school, and also pursue that as your full-time career. When it came to the biotech companies, they wanted to have a scientist there to guide them along the way to their investments. If you want to invest into a biotech company, who better to tell you than a scientist? They know what's leading. They know where it's going. They're able to have that background and have taken that background with them into business school and then helping you along the way as your financial analyst. That is totally an option for you. I couldn't really pinpoint a specific salary for them, but they were all over six figures, all over 100,000. So that might be something you want to look into, especially if you were already thinking of going to business school. Now for the next one, I haven't been keeping count, but on my notes, it says we are on number six. So this one is project manager. This will take you from being the hands-on engineer, designing the plans, being there physically doing the work of an engineer to taking you back to see the bigger picture. This I would apply to both kind of project management and operations management. You're taking that step back so you can see the project overall. You're able to lead the team and make decisions on which direction they need to go in. Or if you see something is wrong with the plans here, you can assign it to someone else who's on your team to say, hey, I think we need to do XYZ so that way we can get this project to push forward to reach XYZ goal. That would be the main thing you would focus on while you're being that project manager or operations manager, making sure that in the operation space that everything is moving smoothly when it comes to that specific project. Now, those people make anywhere between $70,000 to $100,000. And thinking of operations took me back to thinking about logistics. There are logistics managers, supply chain managers, and procurement managers, which can all be alternative STEM careers. Now, when you think of logistics managers, you're more so focused of what's happening on that manufacturing floor. You don't want to be that person who's on the floor, but you want to be the person who's overseeing it all, making sure that everything is moving smoothly. That will come into play with the problem solving skills and analytical skills that you learned in school. And then also add on the factor of having the cost benefit analysis of whether we go with this product versus that product, this small piece versus this small piece. And all three of those roles kind of, they're all different, but they kind of interweave a little bit together. Now, I don't want to say, I'm not trying to downplay anybody's roles by saying that all three of those are the same. I have never been in any of those roles, so don't hit me for it. I just want to give someone a general idea of what it is. Basically, rather than you being on that manufacturing floor, someone who's running the line, you're the person who is running the line, making sure it's all moving smoothly, and you're able to take control of it from both a technical and a financial side without necessarily having to go to business school, like how I mentioned for some of the other roles. You are able to do this with a bachelor's degree and learn from have those prior experiences to help train you better so that way you can reach those management levels. I would say also someone who's not necessarily interested in being that hands-on engineer all the time can also pursue management as their career goal. So that way they know that they're not going to always be stuck in this one area. If you're that person who wants to get deep into that technology and not pursue management, that's totally fine. That's just what your preference is. But as an alternative, you can look into what those managerial tracks are. So that way, you know that every move you're making in your role right now is focused on that. Another role that kind of ties in with the last two that I mentioned is a quality manager. You don't just have to have an engineering background. You can come from science or technology and be that person who's making sure that everything that comes off the production floor is flawless. You wouldn't want to buy a car from Ford that has the whole radio missing now, would you? Now, I'm sure that it's not going to require a quality engineer to notice the whole radio is missing, but someone would notice if the small screw behind the steering wheel is. Now, there are specific processes for every manufacturing plant, and the quality engineer or quality manager is the person making sure that nothing goes wrong. You have to have a standard of quality for every production process and every product that we consume overall. If we didn't have those quality engineers and quality managers, then we would just be getting a whole bunch of crap. Because honestly, there are people who just miss stuff all the time. And if we're not focused on quality as a regular manufacturing process, then who's going to be the person, regulating all of that? Someone has to be there to figure out what that allowable amount of error actually is, and it just might be you. Quality engineers and managers typically make around $75,000. It depends on what industry that you're in. Those logistics managers also make around $75,000, but once again, it depends on what industry you're in. And if you're trying to picture what type of industries could I be in, if you want to be like that logistics manager, think of someone who's managing that Amazon plant, or someone who's in control of what happens at the the Target production warehouses? Or if you want to think more about quality, who's the person making sure that all of our Apple phones are flawless before they hit the stores? They may have some bugs in the code. They may have some issues in the actual hardware. Someone has to make sure that that's all handled properly and producing the best product to keep, to uphold their great name. If you got a crappy iPhone, you wouldn't want to go back to them. You would be looking at them like, no, the last phone I got was missing the headphones in the package. So I don't like that. My friend had their headphones, but I didn't. On to the next one. You can become a technical trainer. Someone has to be that person who understands products and can teach people how to use them. Someone has to be the person who can teach you how to use specific software. Someone has to be the person who can just train their teams overall to work better for whatever the company's needs may be. And that is a specified role. You will have that area of expertise and you will go out and teach people how to do it or teach people what it is they need to do to successfully do XYZ. So I would say look into technical training. I wouldn't say that that's a specific role you would go for straight out the gate because that would take a little bit of time to build up that expertise. So people know that you're that trusted advisor that they can have to go to when they want to be trained. I would look at that as something, you know, later on. Even make it your side hustle. Hello? You could have built up so much expertise over here that you want to go ahead and teach people how to do it over there. All right, you guys, finally, the last one on the list. It is number 10, and it's similar to one that you've already heard before, being a consultant. Not the same as when I said working for another company, but in this sense, being a consultant for hire, setting your own rules, setting your own pace, working for companies that you want to work for, and then if you don't like them anymore, moving on to the next one. This isn't something that you would specifically start out with, but I would say building up to that role over time could be good for you. And it doesn't even take that long to build an expertise in a specific area. If you're good at something, sell it to others. That's literally the name of the game. You can do that as your main role, or you can do that as a side hustle. So many people do this. I personally don't feel like I'm at that level where I'm like, yeah, I could teach people how to do X, Y, Z, and I could have them pay me this, this, and that. But you just might be. Think deep. Literally, think deep. What is it that you can do that other people will pay money for? Because there are a multitude of things that are out there that people are paying a whole lot more to these big companies where they could be paying you. There could be even a smaller company where they're looking for someone who can do this? Who can build this app for me right now? I really need somebody who can do this on the fly. I don't have the engineers on staff to do this, but I need somebody who can build this bomb website. I need somebody who can go ahead and review these plans for me instead of me sitting here or having my engineers waste time to find all their errors. I can have somebody who's over here having dedicated time review all of the plans that are out there so that way they can make sure that there is a level of quality amongst all of their engineering design plans. And there are so many things under the sun that you can get people to buy from you. Your expertise has value. You need to make sure you give it a price and keep it. Set it. Make sure you tell everybody what that number is. Set it high so that way you will never undervalue your worth. Okay. I think that's it for the list, y'all. I hope you really, really liked it. I hope that you enjoyed the information I provided to you, saved you a little bit of Googling time, got you interested in another way that you can take an alternative path for your career, or made you think of some side hustles that you could potentially go for. So you got some thinking to do. You got some researching to do. Take notes from what I already said so that way you can go back and look it up for yourself. Okay?
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I hope you learned something from our discussion that you'll be able to share with others. Visit sistersinstem.org for podcast episodes, stories and advice from your sisters, and much more. Make sure you follow us at The Sisters in STEM on all social media. You can also find me on Instagram at Brittany A. Joy. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows, please subscribe so you'll know exactly when a new episode drops. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us 5 stars and leave an awesome review to show your sister some love. Remember, sis, you are an empowered woman, a STEM-powered woman. You've got this. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.